Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Thursday, the 21st day of April, 2011. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours, probably going to overdrive. We've got Nomi Prinz, a big Goldman Sachs insider, joining us. She was on a few months ago talking about the fact that it was only a matter of time before Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and others began to delist the United States AAA rating. That will then massively increase the national debt and your private borrowing as interest rates surge. And, of course, the trends forecaster Gerald Celente will also be joining us coming up in the third hour. Every day it only intensifies the amount of jam-packed news. More and more independent aid agencies, radiological researchers are going into the two prefectures in and around Fukushima that the Japanese government now says maybe 9 months, a year, 2 years. It may be melting down and belching deadly radiation for a long time. Five of the six reactors seriously damaged. Some of them melted down more than 70%. Now Japan is banning entry into Fukushima evacuation zone, banning entry into it. So incredible information on that front, but right past the 12-mile line, they've still got the kids going to school every day and still got them drinking the milk, eating the seafood. And here in the U.S., they're shipping the seafood in. The milk also showing higher levels of radioactive isotopes. And it's just out of sight, out of mind. I mean, look, baseball season started. And Dancing with the Stars is on, American Idol. We have more important things to do here than worrying about this. So I'm going to be going over that report today. I saw this 2 days ago, and it's such old passé news for us that I barely mentioned it. But this morning, reading back over these articles, and there's more out today, I just thought it was interesting that they have top analysts not quite sure what Apple's doing, and they believe that the secret software on the phones triangulates with cell towers to give the GPS location. They know it's being recorded, and when you log in to your iTunes to sync your phone, Apple's getting the data, and they're wondering what's happening and what's behind it, and Apple, 2-3 days into this, Apple won't comment on what's going on. It's all in the Telecommunications Act of 1996. I have been covering this ad nauseum since then. And I'm not that smart of a person. I know exactly what's going on with the phones. There's a continuity of agenda in every Western country. It was all been adopted in the last decade. And in 96, the federal government, through the FCC, ordered all cell phone manufacturers. They said you got 5 years until October 1st, 2001 to have these phones trackable. Back doors built into them, triangulated by cell tower. And we've got to be able to turn the phone on remotely and listen to people. And at the time, I covered it all. I covered it in 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. In fact, I was just covering this again last week. And here's everybody marveling and wondering. It's not just Apple. Let me announce to you now. It's all cell phones sold, manufactured and sold after October 1st, 2001. And most cell phone companies had already adopted this before then, okay? All your cell phones upload the information to the cell phone companies, AT&T, and their deal with Apple, and then it's sold to the government. They also make money on it, okay? Get that straight.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
It is Thursday, the 21st day of April, 2011. We're going to be again live here for the next 3 hours, probably longer, into overdrive. Gerald Celente on the S&P announcement, obviously, back on Monday, that the United States outlook for keeping its AAA rating is negative. That's only happened one other time, the week after Pearl Harbor, back in the early 1940s. So he'll be joining us. Also, Nomi Prinz, formerly a managing director with Goldman Sachs and a whistleblower, will be joining us to break all of this down as well. But remember, the default has been designed. This is how the private banking cartels gain control of nations. And we have the IMF and World Bank's own internal documents that BBC got back in 2002, one of many documents confirming this was their plan. I've been warning you intensely. Well, even before that, back in 99 when they got rid of Glass-Steagall, we had economists on warning you that this only ends one way, total implosion, a financial debt black hole. For every dollar created, a dollar of debt is created to the private bankers. They make nothing. They create nothing. They pay off politicians and maneuver themselves into position to where their fiat digital numbers are accepted and they gain the world. And the tiny Republican cuts of 39 to 40 billion, they debate the number, does nothing. It's not even rearranging a deck chair on the Titanic. It's more like somebody on the deck of the Titanic emptying an ashtray that had a cigar in it. I mean, it doesn't even affect anything. It's total window dressing, slashing all the welfare, cutting Medicare, cutting Medicaid, freezing Social Security already with the COLAs, getting ready to cut it. That will do nothing because under the Federal Reserve System, it's designed to transfer all wealth to the globalists that set it up. And I know you, the listeners, understand that, but we had better get this information out to everyone we know immediately. We need to get this information out to everyone now. Because the very individuals that have engineered this know that society is going to implode, just like Argentina or Weimar Republic or Zimbabwe, or the things that have happened in Romania and Poland in the last 30 years. There's going to be social unrest. They're going to use the ignorance of the masses as a political weapon to then push for total socialism that will then transfer the wealth not to the people. Socialism also, of course, destroys wealth and doesn't work, except if you're a parasitic group of corporate looters who, again, want to blow everything out and sell it all off to themselves for pennies on the dollar. I saw more AP polls out today where the vast majority of people making less than $30,000 a year want socialism and don't like capitalism. The United States has been the wealthiest country in history, the highest education level, the most patents, the fastest growth rates of wealth, the largest middle class, the wealthiest poor people. I mean, poor folks in the rest of the world are making less than $2 a day. Their leg gets broken, sorry, they die. No medical attention. They're eating rice and beans and mud pies if they're lucky. So you got the spoiled, rotten, poor, and then the working class, and then the lower middle class, and all these spoiled people that don't live in the real world, and I see the polls, I see the numbers, they've been taught capitalism had the bankers steal trillions. Capitalism made GE not pay any taxes. Capitalism made Google not pay any taxes. See, the very elites that have done this are advertising their crimes, but selling it that capitalism did it. This is not free market capitalism we're seeing. This is insiders, Fortune 100, running the governments of the world as their private cash machines, giving themselves giant corporate welfare, and now they've got Republicans scapegoating the welfare moms, who are going to be the army that votes to take the guns and votes for socialism. Oh, they're very dangerous in their slobbering ignorance, on average. Some get it and know what's happening. The unions are very dangerous in their slobbering ignorance. The general public, the howling mob, as the founders called them. Very dangerous. They have to be bound down by the Bill of Rights and Constitution. So 51% of them can't be induced by the slick banker media to rob the other 49% of us while the bankers sit offshore with a gold conduit. Like a mosquito flies up, injects its proboscis into you, injects a liquefying agent, a anticoagulant, and then sucks it up. The mosquito is offshore with its proboscis, the federal government, sucking us dry. And the coagulant is the local governments that are destined to go bankrupt, being told, raise more money, or you'll go bankrupt. So the cops are out writing more tickets, the fees, the fines, the sales taxes, the property taxes, the hospital district taxes, the franchise taxes, the environmental fees, on and on, the school fees, the cell phone fees, all racing. Racing to get the money to keep their jobs when it's a black hole impossible to pay off. But they don't care. They're going headlong over the cliff because they have a fetish for losing, a fetish for being conned, a fetish for being bamboozled, a moth-like obsession with flying into the flame. Well, not me. I'm not a mindless moth. And you know what? Don't worry that they've got the mindless horde out there ready to gut their neighbor if their neighbor's got one more dollar than them. We've got the thinkers. They've got the miscreant globalist on top and their mindless vassals on the bottom, many of which can be shaken out of their trances. And we're going to do that. But I see the poll numbers, and a lot of times I don't believe polls, but I've seen historical polls, wide indexes of polls, and it's undoubtedly close to 70% of people making under $30,000 a year are ready to literally take your house, your car, your bank account. They'll do it. You know how the general public is now. They've been trained to be backstabbing and evil and petulant and angry and entitled and uncommunicative. And they wear their ignorance like a armor, like a shield. They are the dangerous weapon of the globalist. What's democracy? Two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. We're a republic where we elect representatives, and then the representatives are bound down and tied down by the Bill of Rights Constitution. So that even if 51% or 99% want to make you their slave by taking your tax money, or in some cases making you dig ditches, or making you serve as a conscript in the Imperial Army, they can't do it. That's why when the Michigan police, and it's all over the country, that the Michigan State Police have wireless systems grabbing everything off your cell phone and hacking them, your photos, your list, your emails, or when they pull you over for speeding, they grab your phone, plug it in and steal it. TSA does it. That's why when Detroit says, we're not going to issue you a permit to protest Pastor Jones, that's prior constraint. That's the death of the First Amendment. That's why when these kangaroo IRS courts take your house without due process, it's the death of liberty. It's the floodgates being opened for corruption and the armies of control freaks and people that simply want power over others. And the system is ready to give them a uniform. It's ready to give them a bureaucratic title. It's ready to turn them loose on you. And you try to explain to them, hey, the freer the system, the more property rights, the wealthier everybody is. And they're like, no, no, the poorest American is more wealthy than kings 1,000 years ago when it comes to information, medicine, food. But they don't appreciate it. Oh, they're rich information-wise. They're rich, but they don't appreciate it. And the globalists understand their human psychology. They've carefully brought them up, watching television, seeing the culture. Monkey see, monkey do. The public is very dog-like, very easy to be trained. And the globalists are now maneuvering this system where they inflate the currency. They get the system in debt artificially through fraud. They build the Ponzi scheme up, and instead of going to jail at the end of the Ponzi scheme, like a Ken Lay or a Bernie Madoff, they get total power. And you're like, but the Republicans are going to stop them. No, they're not. They're going to bring in austerity and cut all of the entitlements or cut large portions of them so that all the money can go to banker bailouts, so that all the money can go to the Rothschilds and Rockefellers and to private media that's paid off by the private Federal Reserve on record, your tax money, buying off newspapers, MSNBC. And when you see Rachel Maddow, that is a paid agent of the Rockefellers and Rothschilds who own the Federal Reserve. I mean, publicly. Think about the magnitude of that. Think about what they're doing in your face. And it's so real. It's happening now. And it's people like Karl Rove and Sean Hannity on one side of the old Blue Blood Republican, Rockefeller Republican group. And then the same thing out of New York, big buddies with Bloomberg, Schumer, voted for eminent domain of people's private property, voted for higher taxes, supported government-run health care, just doesn't support this version of it. Donald Trump, to, you know, give people a strong man view. I'll fight. I'm slick. I'm strong. You know, Palin, fight like a girl. And people are like, well, fight like Trump. Oh, they'll fight. The Congress aren't wimps. They'll fight to rob you and steal from you and get away with it. Like a grizzly bear grabbing a camper and holding him down while they eat him. Oh, Donald Trump's slick, all right, with his casinos and the penny stocks and all the incredible seediness of that. And I wouldn't be surprised if it looks like now he may actually run. I thought it was a stunt, but more and more, he might actually run. And a lot of Americans think that's cool and sexy. Hey, he takes people's property. He's for higher taxes. You know, I'm talking about what he supported over the years, not what he says, just like Obama. Oh, thank you, Mr. President, after he got elected. I won't have to buy a car anymore. I won't have to pay for my rent anymore. My whole life's fixed. All those people asking for free stuff and then feigning. Oh, did you get free stuff? No, you didn't get anything. Oh, and you find out the health care cuts your Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and lowers your standard of care and doesn't give you free insurance.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
All right, let me just do this. No matter how. Let me read you the stacks of news here, the headlines I've got that I want to go over in the next segment. Your iPhone is tracking your location history. Now, I know that's been out for 3 days, but if you're even a listener for the last few months, you know I've told you this and I've given you the source of it. It's the Telecommunications Act of 1996. By law, all cell phones sold after October 1st, 2001, most of them already had it in years before, 99, 2000, are tracked in real time. And then I always get idiots sending me emails going, there's not GPS in the phone. I know. I read the Telecommunications Act. It's cell tower triangulated down to 3 feet. Federal law says 15. It's accurate to 3 feet. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I read those sections of the Telecommunications Act probably over 100 times back in the 90s, late 90s, because it blew me away back then. Back then, I wasn't conditioned yet to accept this stuff, and it was like, wow, all the cell phones are going to track us in real time, and the government says in the Telecommunications Act they're going to dial in, and the phone has to be able to turn on even when it's off. You can't see that it's on, and record you with the NSA warrantlessly, and they're going to put up microphones all over the country and listen to us and face scanning cameras. I mean, it was just incredible stuff. And here it is in The Guardian and the AP. Oh, my gosh, it ties into cell tower triangulation with the latitude and longitude and tracks you. And when you hook it into your Apple iTunes, it uploads the data to it. Now, you have to read the Telecommunications Act to get all of that because it talks about systems that will then onboard, transmit it while the phone's on. It gives basic broad specs as the technology changes. So let me explain. The Postal Service is driving around the country in test vehicles with these electronic masts grabbing all your data automatically, not hacking your phones and computers. Back doors are built into all these under federal law, and they just steal everything. They data mine everything. Your photos, everything. Google does it. Google uses microphones and cameras on the computers to listen and watch you. How do I know? 6 years ago, they put a press release out and admitted it. I mean, see, it's light years ahead. And so back in the 90s, I would freak out over this. Now I'm pretty much acclimated to it. Kind of like in Florida, they had a Delta Force black helicopter drill. And it's in the Miami Herald and everywhere else. And if you talk about it, you're called a conspiracy theorist, even though it's in 8 different papers in Florida. And these are acclimation drills for military occupation. The Delta Force and other military groups practice taking over city halls and things like this. This was a Bank of America event. I've interviewed emergency managers that blew the whistle and the police chief of San Antonio. Just Google Alex Jones interviews San Antonio police chief. He admitted the Delta Force tried to bribe the city. It's a covert takeover operation, mainly securing narcotics routes. The Delta Force itself is just there to condition the public that if they can blow up buildings in front of everybody and then call everybody kooks if you complain, it's a psyop, and I'll explain that more later. See, I said I'd get to just reading some headlines, and I started getting into just 2 of the stories and didn't. I saw the president of programming at Fox News in New York Magazine say Alex Jones may want to come to Fox, but he's dreaming. He needs to keep reporting on black helicopters. Well, you know what? I saw this 2 days ago with the black helicopters and didn't even report it. And people are asking me, why didn't you report it? Because I've been to so many urban warfare drills. I have been alerted to where Delta Force is going to be in America and had armed troops come up and confiscate Mike Hansen's camera and put a .45 to his chest because he was arguing in America and detain us, even though the police chief, I mean, I can be in San Antonio if I want. But I just interviewed the police chief a week before, and Delta Force said they didn't care what he said. They were still there to do the drill. And then we got to have MPs come, and I didn't argue. They had their, and Mike did, so he pulled the .45 out and pointed it at him. And that's just what America is. I mean, you know, so, hey, I don't report on it, okay? Because they stick .45s in my face. I mean, I forget all the adventures I've been through. Brooksville, Florida. We've got footage of a lot of that. Oh, my God. We get off the airplane. I tell no one when I'm flying in. And in comes this special forces guy who'd been going around local Austin groups and trying to infiltrate and things. And was just so obviously military. And he goes, I want to follow you. I want to help you. Here, I've got this, you know, car. And I knew he was a Fed. And I thought, this will be interesting. So we go to our hotel. We get our own rent car. In Brooksville, we flew into Tampa, and then we're just out there trying to videotape special forces drills, and people come out of their houses and go, in neighborhoods, you're Alex Jones, we're not supposed to talk to you, we've been told you're dangerous. I have this on video in Police State 2 the takeover, and then I'm a and then I look over and the guy's in the bushes trying to light a fire, and I've got to go get in a physical confrontation with the special forces operator setting fires to frame me.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I'll never forget when I went down to Kingsville, Texas, where they just had an unannounced Delta Force drill with foreign troops, and they'd rented the police station the day after the police moved out. They didn't tell the public the police had moved out to their new command center. And they blew the building up 300 feet from Casa Ricarda Nursing Home. And so I went down there and interviewed Thomas Sanchez, the Kingsville County emergency manager. He himself had been in Army intelligence in Vietnam. Real professional, clean-cut, smart guy. And he went ahead and told me off record, and then I got him on the radio to go on record, that no, they approached him with the same things they approached the chief of police of San Antonio. And offered him all this money, offered others money in the town to go along with it, just testing the relationship with local communities to see if they would ever accept a military occupation. That it's also used as a psyop. And then you go to San Antonio, the police chief has said don't do the drill there. They do the drill. We get tipped off by sources in the police department. And they just have MPs come up and detain us in San Antonio, and you can go to the Riverwalk, folks. They'll have MPs out there doing police work. They just, it's totally illegal. They just do it. And Mike Hansen starts arguing with them, so the guy pulls his .45 out. These plainclothes guys come up laughing at us. look like retired type special forces, you know, 40, 50 years old. They take the camera, erase the tape, and give it back to us and say they're going to have us arrested if we videotape anything else. Now, that's America. Then, a year later, I go to Brooksville, and it's in police state to the takeover. And that's a true story. This is who runs America. Is that all I did was to go show an urban warfare military drill and that I was tipped off about. And the Army went door to door in a town. I mean, it's a big town. Looks like Mayberry, but it's big. And knocked on doors and had people coming out of their houses going, are you Alex Jones? I've been told you're dangerous. You're a kook. I'm not supposed to talk to you. And I go, don't you think it's strange the Army's coming to your door? And then I'm out there at night trying to videotape. I know full well the guy that's following us around is a special forces person. And he starts trying to set fires. And then they were going to rush in and arrest us, but I was able to stomp it out, and then he started trying to light it again, and I had to basically shove on him and yell at him and say, okay, you may think you're tough, buddy. I'm about to stomp your guts out. And I started getting on my cell phone to call the police, and he goes, oh, okay, and kind of just ran off into the woods. By the way, Mike Hansen was there, a witness to that. And here come the doom buggies. This is not on a military base. And I guess, you know, today I wouldn't have run from them. But back then, I wanted to be able to videotape them, and it's hard at night. And back then, I had cheap equipment. You turn your night vision on a cheap camera. All it is a projector that projects the light that the camera can pick up. And so it looks like a spotlight to them. And they were doing a drill of occupying the city of Brooksville, Florida. But, I mean, in America, I, as a journalist, and back then, I guess that was in about 99, I was on more than 30 or 40 radio stations, AM, FM, global shortwave, satellite, internet. I mean, the government knew I was nonviolent. The government knew what I was there to do. But the government is run by a pack of crooks. And so they sent a guy out. Oh, and our hotel room got robbed, and money got taken to I guess add us to the drill, and the drill was going to be Alex Jones the terrorist is an arsonist. I mean, that's who runs this government. You've got to experience this for yourself. Just randomly walking down the street by the airport where they were doing the landing drill, hundreds and hundreds of yards away from the woods, and on the other side of the woods was the airport fence, and the Army had gone door to door saying, don't talk to Alex Jones. That's what America is. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, if the globalists will kill hundreds of thousands of third world people just to get their oil and gold, what do you think they're going to do to us? They could care less about us. Sure, the low-level grunts and people mean well and are not bad on average, but they're picking through them and finding the guys that like to be oppressive, that like to be pushy, that like to do oppressive things. And they recruit and promote them into positions of power. They find the bullies. They find the control freaks. And they promote them into positions of power. And what happens a lot of time is basically stream of consciousness on this radio show, the stream of memory. That's why I'll start covering one article and then jump off into 10 other topics, is because it brings up memories of things. I was bringing up memories of the Telecommunications Act of 96, And covering it ad nauseum, because it was shocking for me. It was extremely shocking for me to realize that there was no Fourth Amendment, that a total control grid was being put in through all telecommunications to use the new smart devices and systems that were coming out and cell phones to control and track what everyone does. And now our cell phones are our little personal computers that interface with our home computers, and basically it's like a guardian devil, not a guardian angel, or like a confessor priest, but a confessor devil, that basically sits on our shoulder and watches everything we do and can also add fake data, can also cherry pick the information and then use it against us. I mean, do you really believe that in federal cases, 98% of people are being convicted because 98% are guilty? No, they're framing people. The court system, especially at the federal level, is a giant sausage-making machine that they feed people into that rubber stamp and have kept specially picked juries that stay in a pool who will convict and send a daisy to the gas chamber. They would send a squirrel to the gas chamber if they were told to send them there. They would send a rock to the electric chair. This is how they operate. This is what the globalists engage in. All right. All right. We're going to see if I can do it. I never can. Let's just see if I can just read these headlines to you and then start getting into it. Your iPhone is tracking your location history. On the tip of the iceberg. That's out of CNET News. CNBC, hidden tracking files found in iPhone, iPad. How about every smartphone that's made globally? Because this is continuity of agenda worldwide. Governments worldwide passed simultaneous laws in 96, 97. Just like simultaneously, they all, in 1973, started taking blood at birth to be put in a biometric / biological weapons study system via the Pentagon and the UN. Video, Homeland Security block helicopters and drill over downtown Miami. The Miami Herald and others are reporting on it, and there's video of it. Later, if we have time in the third hour, I want to show that video, heads up to crew. Government orders expedited printing of detainee handbook. Kurt Nemo got that story out yesterday. Girls ages 11 and 12 could be charged with cyber stalking. And here's the London Guardian. iPhone keeps a record of everywhere you go, and then, of course, gives it to the government. But that's only the beginning. There's a new report out, and, of course, it's come out that Homeland Security and the Pentagon, who run cybersecurity network systems, the Cybersecurity Act, it's already in place, though they haven't passed it. It turns out that they're fear-mongering and lying. I heard it all over the news this morning and read it, saw it all over the news. They're saying that the terrorists are attacking our nuclear power plants. Ladies and gentlemen, nuclear power plants are not hooked up to the internet. Their computer systems are not hooked up under infrastructure laws that have been in place for decades. Europe's aren't hooked in. The coal-powered plants are not hooked into the internet. They're on their own private networks, and that's a fact. Now, some of the road signs are hooked into government networks and can be hacked. But it's all about taking the web over. U.S. National Lab needs more cyber controls, AP. Another report, sharp rise in cyber attacks on grids is reported. Excellent story by Paul Joseph Watson I want to get more into later. Nanny state gone wild, breaking down a large swath of the spectrum of total domestication going on. We're going to be breaking that down. Another key article that I worked on last night with Kurt Nemo and this morning, excellent article by Kurt Nemo and Alex Jones. DHS launches new alert system designed to terrorize the public. This is an article that everybody needs to read. I mean, anybody out there buying into the fake terror, anybody buying into the fake Al-Qaeda, anybody that doesn't understand the old alert system or the new one, it's all admitted. They're so arrogant. The former head of Homeland Security wrote a book bragging it was used to terrorize people for political purposes. But this is totally confirmed, and the new system is very diabolical. I will get into this. In fact, that's one of the most important things to get to today. Then the CNN whitewash of it. New terrorism alert system will offer specific warnings. These are going to be tailored to locals to create even more fear-mongering because folks think it's their special terror alert they're getting. The government's announcing Facebook, Twitter. They're going to be breaking in over it, fear-mongering, sending you individual messages, knowing that all the gossips then who understand the national announcements or fear-mongering will run around feeling special when your donut shop or your parking garage or your school gets the little special tailored, generated auto response, specific warning of terrorist. And this is all about just setting up the Stasi system where we don't trust our fellow neighbors. We only trust Big Brother. They've got the big Brother TV shows coming out with Janet Napolitano as our savior. Continuing, new terrorism alert system will offer specific warnings. Pakistan at impasse with U.S. on drone attacks after meetings with Mullen. They've been telling them for months to stop the bombings, over 1,000 drones bombing all over Pakistan, and the globalists are saying we're not going to stop. I mean, that's the empire. The god Zeus flies above you and throws thunderbolts at you, and they admit, we kill no-name terrorists. If we see someone with a gun, we kill them. When guns are as ubiquitous in Pakistan as they were in Texas in the 1920s. That's what happens in Afghanistan. They see you driving along in your Jeep with a gun in the rack, like Farmer Jones used to do. The troops just gun you down and mark you down as Al-Qaeda killed. Just like we've talked to Dr. Bob Bowman, who flew combat missions over Vietnam, over 100. And he talked about how a lot of people he knew would just say, they'd be flying along, even in areas controlled by the good guys. And they would just see a boat driving along with a family fishing, and they'd just kill them. And there was the headlines, the U.S. Is defying. In fact, that was a powerful headline. U.S. still has options for drones if denied use of Pakistan bases. Pakistan has said, stop doing it for months. Stop. You're ordered to stop. And now they're talking about kicking the drones out of Pakistani bases. And the West is saying, we don't care. We're going to go ahead and keep bombing you. And by the way, this isn't an act of war. These are humanitarian bombs, kinetic bombs. Also, I've got a report here that I'm going to play a clip of ahead of Gerald Celente joining us, or I may just play a short clip out of the 8-minute clip from Real Clear Markets. It's up on Infowars.com. Gingrich, Ben Bernanke has done a terrible job. And Gingrich went on to say that, because I heard him on Hannity yesterday driving around doing some errands, not just this video, but I heard him say, we need to split the Federal Reserve in two and give the money power back to Congress. Now, if Gingrich, who's written books about how he supports world government, carbon taxes, if Gingrich is going on CNBC saying things like this and going on Hannity, that shows that they know, with polls over 85% of Americans want to audit or abolish the Fed, that the jig is up. So they're really starting to panic. And they said, let the Fed control dollar value. That means hand that over to the global new bank of the world, but let Congress control it domestically. So really, it's sounding like he's saying, get rid of the Fed. He's spinning it to say, well, let them handle dollar value, which is the dollar, and then let Congress, again, rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic. So I've got those reports here. Looking at Libya, warning of new Vietnam in Libya as British military advisors go in. I've been seeing for over a month these headlines about military advisors going in. They've been bringing weapons in out of Saudi Arabia. They've been bringing advisors in. They've had U.S. and British troops lasing the targets on the ground so the bombs can be dropped on them, targeting them, vectoring them. And now they're just going, oh, now we've put troops in. Now we've got troop ships off the coast. Now the EU is going to send in a humanitarian force who will lead the rebels into the Gaddafi-controlled cities. And if Gaddafi doesn't lay his guns down, well, then we'll have to have a bigger ground war. Here's the EU, here's NATO. We're rolling in behind the rebels with weapons we gave them. If you fire on the rebels, you're firing on us. You're not allowed to fire at us when we're firing at you. This is peace. This is help teams. Help teams. Warning of new Vietnam and Libya as British military advisors go in. But the prime minister said, don't worry, this is not a military action. It's not military. It's not military. It's military, but it's not. Okay? And the radiation levels, now over 500 times normal levels in many states, according to the state readings that are being released that we have up on PrisonPlanet.com. Don't worry, the government just raised what they said safe levels are. So this is not a war in Libya, and radiation levels going up are not dangerous because the government raised the level. Here's the New York Times. War in Libya could drag on, military analysts say. New York Times. But UK's Cameron says NATO not creeping towards ground war. No, 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 no. And the air bombardment, it's not an air bombardment either. It's a no-fly zone. Stay with us.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big John, Big John.
The Constitution, the Big Bill of Rights, is a hedge of protection.
Big John. Nobody seemed to.
And when due process is removed from the equation, it allows corruption to take root and then to grow until there is no liberty and no prosperity left. And so it is my mission to simply try to illustrate how deceptive, how corrupt, and how ruthless the global ruling class is. Look at all the lies they've been caught in. Look at all the corruption. To the point of where many people just accept that that's what government and mega corporations do. But then I hear the very same servile public praising the police when they throw the book at somebody for some petty reason or even frame them. And it's because deep down people are scared and they're intimidated by the bullies. And they think that if they go along with it and make excuses for it, that somehow they're going to be immune and protected. And that type of attitude allows more and more corrupt bureaucrats to get in, more and more corrupt police, more and more corrupt military to displace the good men and women that are standing up for what's right. We need to illustrate what a good police officer is, what a good military person is, what a good member of Congress is, what true American and just free human values are. I mean, I look at this new DHS terror alert system, and it's really the old InfraGuard system going nationwide and widespread. And I'm going to be breaking that down. DHS launches new alert system designed to terrorize public. We did a search term yesterday, but only made it to like number 5 because I only plugged it briefly. I've done the search term and tested it. If you make this the number 1 search term, it will lead them directly to Infowars.com. And PrisonPlanet.com, and this article by Kurt Nemo that is the most detailed I've seen yet, proving the fake terror and that these terror alerts are meant to create a climate of fear so they can bring in an even greater police state. I want to everybody to search the term terrorize public. Very easy. Terrorize public. Terrorize public. And you can clone the article to your website, and then you'll get the traffic when it goes to number 1. Let's make it number 1. Now, we know they're blocking TSA terms. Let's see if they're blocking terror terms. Terrorize public. T-E-R-R-O-R-I-Z-E. Terrorize public. And I'm going to be reading much of this article later in the broadcast, but I'm really proud of this article that Kurt Nemo did. It's just got amazing amounts of research in it, and it's so important to understand why they're doing what they're doing. Paul Watson's article explaining what the nanny state system is all about. I asked Paul to write this article last night, worked on it with him some. I asked Kurt, we had a meeting last night for about 45 minutes. We went over this. He wrote it this morning. these are important articles that you know what's going on, but this will help you understand why, and every statement we make is linked to their own admissions. This is social engineering. We've got Naomi Prinz, formerly a big insider, managing director at Goldman Sachs, coming on to talk about the move towards losing our AAA rating. We've got Gerald Celente also. We got these in on Monday, and I haven't plugged them yet. The banners are going up today. Everything we do at InfoWars.com is about a symbiotic relationship. T-shirts, ball caps, videos, books, it's all about getting the word out. And T-shirts are a great way to meet like-minded people and strike up conversations. That's why I came up with the idea to make this shirt, InfoWars.com, on the front with a big water droplet with a skull in it. People will ask, what does that mean? And you can turn around to the back. There is poison in the tap water. Learn more, InfoWars.com. And then you can explain to them about sodium fluoride. Get the T-shirts and fight the poisoning of the water. InfoWars.com.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're live. It's hour number two ahead of Naomi Prinz joining us to get into what's happening with the bond rating of the United States with the T-bills, the S&P announcement that the outlook is negative for the AAA rating being continued, what the ramifications of that mean. That's coming up, but I want to take a few calls ahead of her joining us, then Gerald Celente, in the last 30 minutes of the next hour. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And I'd love to hear from you about state police, not just in Michigan, but all over the country. We saw these reports years ago. They have wireless antennas that hack in because they have the back door, so it's instant, basically, 2 seconds on average, and download what's on your phone. Or when they pull you over for speeding, they demand your phone, color of law, no right, plug it in, it's a warrantless search, and steal everything off your phone. I do want to spend a few minutes later in the hour getting into your iPhone is tracking your location, and they've got these top computer experts saying Apple won't tell us why they're saving this, but it appears the program triangulates with cell towers and tracks them, and then when you log on to your iTunes, it downloads the information. It's all in the Telecommunications Act. I mean, when you see how ignorant even compartmentalized computer experts are, sure, they know the code. They know how to identify it. It's public. It's been public for 15 years. It's the Telecommunications Act. Remember, if you've been listening 10, 15 years, I kept telling you over and over, if you were listening 5 years ago, every AT&T, every other major telecommunications hub is the NSA. They have whole floors, not closets. They have whole floors where everything is run through it. And then the AT&T exec went public in San Francisco and blew the whistle that everything runs through it, and it's an NSA area of one floor. It's the Telecommunications Act. See, when they had to pass this into law, it was all public. Then once it goes in, we don't get the details. But it's all right there. And I guess I'm already covering this now. It's just, ladies and gentlemen, it is so frustrating because this is not hard. This information is not hard to understand. This information is not hard to figure out. This information is all there. I mean, I told people back in October 2001 when they passed the Patriot Act and we got a copy of it. Nobody could get it till the day after it passed, including members of Congress. They got it about an hour before. And it said, the government will break in your house and not tell you without a warrant. If you find out, you can be put in federal prison if you tell anybody. We're going to anybody who commits a misdemeanor, we can take your entire Bill of Rights and Constitution. You know, Section 802, any action that endangers human life, it's a violation of any federal or state law. There's hundreds of misdemeanors. And they're counting on you not knowing about this. It's all there. And so, of course, years later, you have the headlines. State of Tennessee used Patriot Act thousands of times in non-terror-related cases, including marijuana and domestic disputes, and the similar headlines everywhere. They lie to you and say, it's not a war in Libya. It's not an air war. It's not a ground war. There are no troops. Well, there were troops. Oh, we're not going to use the Patriot Act on you, hoping you don't go look it up. Then we get the internal MIAC Homeland Security reports. And there's no mention of Al-Qaeda. There's no mention of the globalist little stooges. It's all gun owners, libertarians, veterans, in the Fed people. Well, in the Fed, look what it's doing to America. I mean, is Newt Gingrich going to be on a list now? He's saying get rid of the Federal Reserve? Only on the surface. It's a trick. He says, let there be the international Fed run by Bernanke over the dollar, and then Congress will control domestic issues. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm going to leave you.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, for a couple segments, we're going to take your phone calls ahead of Goldman Sachs former managing director whistleblower Naomi Prinz getting into the S&P announcement a few days ago that the outlook is negative for the dollar keeping its AAA rating. And if you think the U.S. government's in debt now to foreign banks and countries via the fiat money system, we're now going to have basically third world interest rates, exactly where the private Federal Reserve has been maneuvering us forever. That's why Geithner says you've got to increase spending, you've got to increase taxes, or we'll default, because he's steaming us right towards the iceberg. He wants to basically wreck the ship and then loot it. And that's basically their plan. We have got to get the word out on what's happening, because things are obviously getting crazier by the minute. Remember, they said we're not going to default 3 years ago when they got the banker bailout. They said if we didn't give them all this money, it would happen. And we told you it's only going to get worse a few years down the road. They're positioning us for this while they get all the bailout money that they promised to use to get the economy going so they can up interest rates and hoard that money for themselves. And you've seen lending decrease, not increase. While they're telling you how great the economy is, very, very deceptive. Okay, let's go ahead and go to your phone calls. Let's talk to Michael in Texas. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, Alex, Mike in Dallas. You probably remember I've talked to you a couple of times. I'm a telecommunications engineer. You probably hear from my accent, too. I'm a Yankee. I lived up in New York City most of my life and worked for the, you know, Verizon, big telecommunications company. First, it was New York Telephone, and I started right after the divestiture. My dad had been in the business, and he told me about this stuff that was going on because he was one of the infrastructure planners. He said, Mike, you're not going to believe what these people are doing. Co-location is where... And they hid this under the guise of, well, now the telecommunications infrastructure needs to be shared because all these cables underground and on the poles, you have to share.
Let me stop you. And I'm going to give you the floor. We have the confirmed reports now that all of the smartphones, let me give you the news blast here. It's not just your iPhone or your iPad. Under the 96 Telecommunications Act, the government has to be able to break in remotely and turn it on even when it's off and have the phone look like it's off, download all your content, photos, you name it, your phone list, listen to you live time, track you, and they co-locate, quote, all the phone company infrastructure at Nexus Points, paid for with $9 billion of taxpayer money from 96 to 2001, to put the grid in. And now over the grid, the government's going to break in on Facebook, Twitter, your smartphone, your computer with announcements. That's all being announced. And I'm not bragging. This was all, you know, that I knew this and said this over a decade ago. I've been screaming bloody murder. And so here's these top computer experts in The Guardian saying it's this consolidation.dp secret system. When you log in with your iPhone or iPad to sync it with your regular computer, it uploads it, and it basically goes to Apple. They say, we don't know how they're triangulating it, but it is being triangulated. We believe it's determined by cell tower triangulation. Well, if they'd read the Telecommunications Act, it says by law it triangulates. I'm sorry now. Go ahead.
No, you're right, Alex. And again, I'm calling to confirm that, you know, again, just like you admit every day, humbly, you say, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. As a matter of fact, I'm never the smartest guy in the room. Just because I have the title of engineer doesn't mean that I'm a brainiac. I know these things because I've researched them. And here's the scary thing, Alex. They don't even have to, you don't even have to make phone calls anymore. We sell these services. I now work for a wireless communication company, one of the fourth largest wireless provider. And we sell a service that backs up all your contacts wirelessly. So you've got your phone set, and you say, well, what happens if my phone breaks or if I lose it or someone steals it? Oh, all my contacts will be saved, all of my information, all my pictures, everything that I have.
And by the way, that's the cloud system, and all the new computers coming out, you won't be able to save it on your computer at home. It's all designed to be saved on their systems, and under the new Internet ID program announced by the White House on Monday, or actually last Friday now, folks, we covered this last week, publicly they admit the government will issue you your universal safe code with a code key for your banking, for everything, and they admit the IRS will monitor it and the Department of Health and Human Services will monitor all your medical records. I mean, this has all been designed and the Pentagon runs it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's true. And of course, they broadcast this commercial with this lady that makes it sound like they do every program. They label it something, the Patriot Act, the Internet Security Act, and it's exactly the opposite. It'll do exactly the opposite of what they name it. Now,
again, I'm sorry, I'm going to add, the Pentagon admitted 2 years ago, you're absolutely right, that cybersecurity is putting these hubs in so they can shut the web down. That's the Internet kill switch. And the way they're unifying the Internet telecommunications grid will allow hackers, i.e. the globalists, to shut down all or parts of the web. So what they claim they're setting up to protect the web, it's the opposite. Sorry.
And who's the guy pushing it? Who was the guy from the beginning pushing it? One of the so-called liberals from up in Connecticut, one of our senior senators, Joe Lieberman. I mean, don't people see there's no difference? Just like your interview, your 80-minute interview that anybody can download from prisonplanet.com if they get a membership. G. Edward Griffin says there's no difference between these people. They say the Republicans want military spending and the Democrats want social programs. The overall agenda is there's no difference. Why don't people see this? Why don't they see it? Alex, I don't know what to do anymore. And here's another question. Maybe you can talk about this with Gerald or Bob Chapman tomorrow. I'm at the point where even some of these social networking websites, I can't even go on them anymore because people say that they're libertarians and they believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and private property. They're talking about the boogeyman. We need to hate the Muslims. We need to hate this is all about Islam trying to take over the world. There's no place to go anymore where you can.
Islam
be
is the outside boogeyman used so that people will unify under the globalists and let them enslave them. Meanwhile, the globalists are on record radicalizing Muslims, protecting violent radical Muslims, and allowing them to attack. Then they use the clash of civilizations to ban free speech in America. Detroit is saying that the Pastor Jones is not allowed to protest outside the Detroit mosque, but you can protest, troops, dead troops, funerals. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't support the First Amendment for Jones, you don't support it for anybody. These are social engineers knowingly maneuvering us into this, and it's not our opinion on the Telecommunications Act or on what they're doing socially. It's all public. They write white papers. They've got white papers by the CFR of how they're chemtrailing and when they started it and what's in it and how great it is, and the average yuppie out there will laugh at you if you tell them when it's public. I appreciate your call, Michael. Look, we're in deep trouble. Because the average person goes into a cell phone store, a smartphone store, and doesn't even want to learn what the different phones are. Because they got to go home and watch their favorite sitcom or play video games. There's a real game of life going on with a real scientific Borg unrolling their control grid, openly saying in thousands of white papers covered in Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, that once the grid's in place, they're going to release basically a mouse pox and kill 90-plus percent of people. The UN only says 80%. And they just giggle and say, oh, the black helicopter's going to get me. I've got a sitcom to watch. I mean, they have no idea. The cops laughing right now listening. They have no idea what we're going into. They have no idea how sinister it is, how domesticated the public has gotten. And you know what? Maybe the globalists aren't going to release these, you know, these super bioweapons, but they sure say they are. They sure talk about it a lot. They sure talk about what they're going to do, their big think tanks that literally give the orders. I mean, this is all public. Dick Cheney, September 20th, 2000, Rebuilding America's Defenses, PNAC, said we need to legitimize through the media the use of race-specific bioweapons. South Africa, Israel. Do you know what a race-specific bioweapon is, folks? If you don't, you better look it up. We're doing a Google search term today. I want to make it number one, terrorize public. That'll lead people to DHS launches new alert system designed to terrorize public. All right, let's go to Mick in New York. Mick, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, thanks for having me on the line there. I was awakened about a year and a half ago by a friend of my wife's, and she turned me on to you, and it's been absolutely stunning what I've learned. I just had three things, and then I'll let you expound upon them. First of all, I want to know what your thoughts are on the Department of Justice seizing the poker sites and what the real agenda is behind that.
Well, the only place in the country where it's totally legal is District of Criminals, D.C., that square block of criminality. And the globalists always take things over that were legal so that then their friends can be given the franchises. Nobody's going after Donald Trump's online poker operations. And I don't gamble myself. I mean, I have actually played private games of poker back in college and a few since then. But, I mean, we're talking for pennies. I'm not a high-stakes poker player. And it's become super popular, and it's fun. And it's actually a form of, you know, gambling with four friends where you've actually got a chance of winning. And they don't like that. They, you know, they want to put in rigged casinos where you got about a 20% chance of winning, where they can sell you some government whores and liquor instead of you going with friends and eating barbecue at their house and playing, you know, poker for 5 hours. And they don't want you online playing poker with other people because it's fair and it's real, and they just can't allow that. And we got an article up there today, poker sites, tomorrow, alternative media. The government's actually out there talking about shutting down alternative media and using systems to do it. Does that answer your question, Mick?
Yeah, and then I also had one other thing about being, I used to be a physical education teacher, and they're trying to ban dodgeball, and nobody asked the kids. That's all the kids want to play.
Well, because if they can ban something that's reasonable, they can ban anything. Obama came out on Tuesday and said it doesn't matter if Standard & Poor's, the big rating agency, for the first time since Pearl Harbor, has lowered the outlook to negative with the U.S. keeping its AAA rating. Third world countries don't have AAA ratings. The interest rates will explode. That's just how they maneuvered Greece and Ireland and Portugal and Iceland. Of course, the Icelanders said, we don't owe this money. They went and did a forensic audit. Over 90% was owed by the private banks that had come in and taken over their country. You bankers keep your fiat debt. Go ahead and try to hold us hostage, because we know you can go ahead and kill the economy even faster. But if we go along with you, there's no end in sight. Let's just get this over with. And so we knew that gold and silver would only go up. I've been telling you for 11 years. That's when I got into gold and silver, was when they got rid of Glass-Steagall. And all the economists that had been right before, I listened to them, started studying it intently, really 16, 17 years ago, but intensely 11 years ago. And I said, get into silver and gold. When silver was less than $5 an ounce, was four something, gold 258, 260. Gold is at $1,509 and $60 an ounce. It's still rising. That's from earlier in the day. Gold climbs to record as debt concern, inflation boost investment demand. And silver surges over $46.25 an ounce as rumors of a short squeeze and concerning market gain credence. And continuing, gold for immediate delivery advances to record, Bloomberg, Reuters, gold to rise to $1,700. Continuing, and look, in a week or two, they'll probably drive gold down by 50 bucks. They'll probably drive silver down by three or four. And the yuppies will all say, ah, see, because they love to feel like they're right because they never buy gold and silver. So it doesn't matter if in the yearly graph, the 10-year graph, it's going straight up. When it dips a little, they'll have celebrations on TV and giggle and snicker. And then a month later, it'll race up to, you know, 1,600 bucks and silver to 50, and they'll still giggle. And then it'll drop from 50 to 49, and they'll laugh. Then it'll go to 60 in silver, and then it'll drop to 55, and they'll laugh because they love to lose. I'm telling you, it's a religion now. America had a religion of winning. It's now got a religion of buying into cons. My listeners are not like that, and I'm not like that. I promote what I believe in. There is no silver bullet, but the closest you get to a silver bullet is a silver coin. No pun intended. I personally like gold, too, because you start buying a lot of silver, it's hard to carry around with you unless you're like Captain Kidd and got it buried. But it is great. It's poor man's gold, and many analysts have called it gold on steroids. And it is performing better than gold, and I've been saying that for years, and I said silver's the safest bet. But look, enough of that, because I'm coming back with the big whistleblower from Goldman Sachs to get into all this. And she was on just a few months ago and, again, laid out what was, she said, coming sooner rather than later. So we'll be talking to her. But Ted Anderson, just briefly, we got about 2 minutes left. Here we are. And you told folks you were going to run out of the gold and silver that you bought months ago at a lot lower price. You still got the stuff you bought a month ago instead of 2 months ago. It's going to go up again. Still the best deals out there. How much is the three silver dollars and three of my films and free shipping? The best deal out there. How much are the silver half dollars? What's your best deals on gold? What are the radio specials if folks want to call and take advantage of this? Or maybe they can just be a yuppie and giggle and say, bad investment, gold 260, now 1500. Aha, you're dumb. I'm smart. Stock market overall down by about 40% in real stock values. I'm smart. I'm losing money. I'm cool. You're not. Ha, ha, ha. Magic wand. Radiation's good for me. You know, these are smart folks. Look, black helicopters, the Miami Herald attacking, don't exist. Ha, ha, ha. You know, government wiretapping with no warrants. Ha, 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 doesn't exist, but it's admitted. I'm sorry, Ted. Give folks the number and the offer.
Yeah, well, right now I'm at 120 for the videos and the silver dollar. The silver dollars alone right now are at $147 a piece. Actually, they're a little higher than that. Silver did go up today to $46.39. Gold, $15.09. You really should be moving in on this. Walking Liberty halves right now, Alex, 21.61. Those are going to be shooting up like a rocket with silver going like up like they had. Franks at 3.26, sovereigns at 4.10. I mean, there's just a lot of things that are at this time. I just can't say it enough. I mean, 3,200 for a bag of dimes. That's a 1,000 face value. People need to protect themselves. They're watching gold and silver go down. Take advantage of that silver dollar deal in the videos at 120. If I priced that out in the marketplace right now, it'd be closer to $200 to get the same thing to buy it separately. And that is just, it's important that people get involved right now at this time. Alex, if you don't move into gold and silver, there's about $200 trillion in assets out there in the marketplace that needs to be invested, period. And if that moves to gold and silver, there's only about $1.5 trillion worth of gold.
Let me give folks the number, Ted, 800-686-2237. The globalists obviously think you're stupid and won't buy this gold and silver. 800-686-2237. I know the globalists and the big universities, they're all grabbing it. Dictators are grabbing it. But they're telling you don't grab it because they want it for themselves. All right, we've got Nomi Prinz, before coming a journalist. She worked on Wall Street as a managing director at Goldman Sachs and running the International Analytics Group at Bear Stearns in London. She's a best-selling author and has appeared on BBC, CNN, CNBC, C-SPAN, ABC, CNN. I mean, I everything. NomiPrinz.com, Prinz, P-R-I-N. S.com. We've got links to her up on Infowars.com. We're going to her in just a moment because she was just here a few months ago and talked about losing the AAA rating, talked about what that would signify, the policy we're seeing out of Geithner. I had Lou Dobbs on Friday. He agreed with my analysis that Geithner's announcement that if you don't raise the debt ceiling, if you don't give us more taxes and more money to pay to the offshore banks, then we'll default. But they're defaulting through hyperinflation. Over 70% of the T-bills now being monetized by the Federal Reserve. The Chinese announcing last week they're going to buy even less T-bills. We're going over the edge here. You see that in commodities. But we're going to talk to a real expert here in a moment who 7 years ago, wrote a best-selling book exposing all of this and laying it all out. So, because she was on the inside of it. I mean, how many hundreds of top economists, former top federal regulators like Professor Black have we had on, laying out it's a black hole, impossible to pay off. It's designed to be impossible. We're going to talk to her in a moment. And then Gerald Celente coming up later in the next hour. I'll take 30 minutes of calls and cover other news at the start of the next hour for those that are holding, or you can hang up and call back. I want to hear from you, though. But before we go to Nomi Prinz here in a moment, I wanted to bring up Ted Anderson just to finish, because we were talking about gold and silver prices and what's happening, and then we got caught by the break before we could put the plug in so folks can take advantage of this deal. It was a 90-something dollars, then it was $100, then $105, $110, $115 to get three silver dollars, now valued in the market over $135 if you're getting a good deal to get three. You get three of those for $120 with the free shipping and three of my best-selling films on top of it. We're talking a $200-plus value for $120. And as Ted sells out of the supplies he bought when it was lower, it'll still keep going up. You should have taken advantage of it earlier, but you should have taken advantage of it. We were selling silver for $5 an ounce and gold for $260. But you think it's high now, get ready. Because if they continue to devalue the currency, which they're showing every indication they're full steam ahead, it's only going to go up. So take advantage of that special. I'll tell you right now, the brokers, who are great guys and competitive, they don't like it because Ted loses money on these. It's a loss leader to get you into silver and gold for those that have never held it in their hand. He's got a bunch of other loss leaders as well. Briefly mention those, Ted, the radio specials that folks need to say are the radio specials or they will pay more.
Well, there's no question about it. The very first one is your videos with the three silver dollars at $120. There isn't anybody in the entire world that is offering a deal that good in silver. We also have the Creature from Jekyll Island book for $41 delivered. That's a 580-some page book with a real silver dollar in it. So you get to read about what the Fed is about, and then you get to see what real constitutional money really was as a sample right in your hand. $41 delivered. Silver dollars alone are $47 a piece. You can do the math. I'm not making money on this. But nonetheless, it gets you educated. You get the real deal. And who knows, maybe someday in the future, you'll consider Midas for your future purchases.
Absolutely, Ted. Absolutely. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish up.
Well, just the Walking Liberty halves at $21.61 are a good buy. There's so many good buys right now in the marketplace, and it's so hard to keep up with this because, Alex, every day I wake up, silver's up another dollar from what was the day before. I mean, right now we're looking at $46.39 for silver. Gold is almost at $1,510 now. I mean, it's just this stuff is moving so fast and so furious, and premiums are going up on physical delivery, anything, even in the futures market, that, you know, I mean, let's face it, if you have $200 trillion trying to chase $1.5 trillion of assets, it's going to drive the prices up. Like
absolutely, crazy. Ted. I've got to jump to Nomi because she's going to break down the technicals of this. But thank you so much. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Ted, if it keeps racing up like this, how long can you hold those silver and gold deals at those prices?
Well, I'm going to do this till tonight, and we'll see what happens tomorrow.
All right. Thank you so much, Ted Anderson. Now, Nomi Prinz is a journalist, senior fellow at Demos. Her latest book, It Takes a Pillage, Behind the Bonuses, Bailouts, and Backroom Deals from Washington to Wall Street. By the way, GE's announcing their biggest profit ever. Biggest profit ever today. We're going to go over some of those numbers. And they paid zero tax. But they're lobbying through Obama to raise the middle class's taxes, which is in paid and bailouts to them. Man, and they've got the screaming hordes of poor people in polls today. 70% in an AP poll want to get rid of capitalism and rob the middle class. No wonder you're poor. Because you're stupid. I'm sorry. You let these bankers rob you. She is the author of Other People's Money, The Corporate Mugging of America, of Devastating Exposé into Corporate Corruption, Political Collusion, and Wall Street deception. And I didn't mean that towards all poor people. I mean those that want to get rid of capitalism because you think that's going to help you. Other People's Money and Chosen is the best book, 2004 by The Economist, Barron's and the Liberty Journal. And her other book, Jacked, How Conservatives Are Picking Your Pocket, Whether You Voted for Them or Not. It goes on NomiPrenz.com. And she also appears in the New York Times, Fortune. The list goes on and on. Nomi, thank you for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me back, Alex.
I know I'm ranting here today. When I saw the S&P announcement 3 days ago, it shook me. I knew it was coming, but to see that happen and then to see the White House come out and say that it didn't matter, and then we learned that they secretly were trying to block S&P, Standard & Poor's, from doing that. As you know, somebody who studied this, who worked as a managing director at Goldman Sachs, running their international analytics group in Bear Stearns in London, what does this really signify and what does this really mean?
Well, first of all, it signifies that S&P is having a minor little wake-up moment because, A, they're right. You know, the United States does have a debt problem. You know, hello, this is a really obvious conclusion. The fact that the White House was trying to suppress the information is really part of what continues to occur from Washington. There's this notion that bailouts worked, our financials are coming back, our recovery is on the rise, and all of this stuff that no one actually feels in real life, but the illusion continues to get perpetuated. So trying to get S&P to shut up was a way of trying to continue with that illusion. S&P, of course, is the same rating agency among Moody's and Fitch that continually upgraded and kept high the ratings of all the toxic assets that clogged our financial system, that were spewed out by the banking system, and that continue to reside at the Federal Reserve and be backed in many other ways by the Treasury Department, not least the issuing of $4 trillion worth of Treasury debt in the last 2 years since that financial crisis began. So this is something that Washington would really prefer we don't keep picking at, and that S&P would have just stayed dormant and not mentioned in the way that they did in their announcement that they did on Monday with their report.
Now, Nomi, what does this signify when Geithner engages in what I call financial terrorism and says, if you don't raise the debt limit, if you don't keep the spending going, we're going to default. Am I not correct, or correct me if I'm wrong, in saying that it's a technical default to have the Federal Reserve monetizing 7/10 of the new debt, and to have the Chinese and others dumping new purchases, cutting back on their purchases? I mean, are we not seeing a real-world default going on right now? And to have him scapegoat anybody trying to cut spending as the authors of the ongoing depression, what's your view on that?
Well, you know, you call it, I call it financial homicide by the banks, and Geithner's sort of the accomplice because he, under him, the Treasury Department, again, increased the Treasury debt by $4 trillion. So for him to come around and say, oh, by the way, if you, Congress, don't increase the debt cap by whatever amount, whether it's a penny to a trillion, it almost doesn't matter. The idea is that if we don't incur more debt, our debt will become less worthy, which is just A, not logical, and B, part of how Geithner has operated through the bailouts and since he's been Treasury Secretary, which is to continue to deny that much of the debt problem, most of the debt problem, arguably all of the debt problem, has happened because of this imparting of debt to bail out Wall Street, to subsidize the financial system, to go back and forth between the Fed, who buys the debt, the Treasury increases the debt, the Fed buys the debt, and has this sort of back and forth ball going between them, which only decreases our value as a nation, our entire books, our balance sheet as a nation. And the Fed will continue to do this. We know that when June comes along, the Fed is going to go from QE2 to QE whatever. They might call it something else. They will find ways to continue to throw this ball.
Yeah, I've heard Bernanke. They're calling it a continuation of QE2, which is really QE3.
Right. And what it really is saying, look, we're going to continue to pretend that we're either going to print money or buy debt or move stuff back and forth between the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve, which will decrease the value of the United States books as a whole. We'll just keep on doing that, whatever we call that, and we will never say that the reason we are doing that is because we are backing a faulty financial system for which we started to do this to begin with, and that in our history as a country, we have never had this amount of outpouring, an increase in our debt, and flux between the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve as we've had in the last 2.5 years.
Nothing near it.
Blame spending cut, and then blame, or even discuss, or even remotely give credence to the crazy debate that continues on in Washington about $38 billion per year of spending cuts, which is 1% of the budget, and less than a visible percentage, piece of a percentage of the debt that the Treasury Department has incurred in the Federal Reserve report supports.
Well, that's right, because there's all of the commitments, there's all of the thousands of trillions, many economists say, in derivatives that they've tricked us and other nations to sign on to. But, Nomi, I mean, you worked inside the belly of the beast. And when we look at this, S&P is saying, you know, hey, the emperor has no clothes. It's the fact that we're incurring more debt. It's the fact that you're monetizing debt is why the outlook for the AAA rating is not good. A, explain to people what losing the AAA rating will mean. And then B, is this not the policy of the private offshore-owned Fed to wreck the U.S. dollar and economy so that these big international institutions can come in and buy things up for pennies on the dollar and move towards this IMF, World Bank, Bancor digital system where we'll still have our regional currencies, but now the private bankers will be in full control outside of Congress even being able to comment?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll start with the middle, and that the Fed, whether it's the Wilson policy or strategic policy, you know, I go back and forth between that the result of this policy is a devalued currency, is devalued debt. Now, when S&P comes and says there's a potential, and they said that the United States debt is on negative watch, they didn't even come out full force and say we are downgrading the U.S. debt, probably because of conversations going on with the White House. So even though they put out their report, there could have been a little bit of back and forthing on that. But what would happen if the United States debt rating was decreased, it would mean that the value of our treasury debt, the amount that we would have to basically pay other countries to borrow money from them, or effectively, you know, they buy our treasuries, but what the transaction is, we are buying, we're paying them interest, they are buying our debt, it would cost us more to do that. And if it costs us more to do that, number one, and inflation goes up, the cost of keeping this illusion going goes up. So there, then the Fed's in a position where they have to, you know, that they can't bring rates down below zero. They're already quite low to the private banking system. The private banking system is getting money from the Fed at basically zero interest and then either using it offshore to speculate and increase profits and not have those taxes reverted back to increasing revenues in Washington, or lending them out to whether it's small businesses or through credit cards or through auto loans or whatever at high interest rates relative to the almost zero that they're paying for it. So that, I believe, would continue, which would just mean that the United States continues a downward devaluation spiral. I don't know if the S&P is going to turn around and actually downgrade the U.S. Debt. It should. The value of our debt, like the S&P report had indicated, should be downgraded. We continue to create money to pay debt. None of this is real revenue. The real revenue, the real profits that private banks and other companies like GE are making are not reverting in taxes back to the Treasury Department. We as individuals pay 81% between individual tax returns and Social Security and other types of payments into the revenue of the United States. Corporations pay 8.9%, less than 10%. So that will continue to happen. Money will continue to divert offshore. Whether the IMF turns around and creates a multi-platform electronic currency, or there's continued talk all the time of some sort of a global currency that's not the dollar, that's going to be a little bit further in the future, because the dollar, as weak as it is, and our debt as invaluable as it is, and the economic policies of the Fed and the Treasury Department, as dangerous as they are to middle and general America, the dollar is still the prevalent currency, which actually devalues the economies globally.
That's right. We're seeing G20 engaged in coordinated devaluations of every major currency, accelerating the overall increase in commodity prices.
And they're all enabling, and this is all to enable a really bad and dangerous economic policy by the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department.
Meanwhile, Obama and the Republicans as well are telling us everything's fine, and the Republicans are scapegoating unions and welfare moms. I've said it, you could send them all over the plank. You could send them to Pluto, and I've looked at the math. I've had other economists on. It'll do nothing compared to the banker bailouts, and the Republicans, except for Ron Paul and Rand Paul, they're not saying a word about the trillion-pound elephant in the living room. I mean, it is incredible.
No, they're not, because they're all part of, or most of them are part of this illusion that what happened over the last 2 years was necessary, that floating the banking system, that completely changing or adapting an economic policy based on debt and buying our own debt and really just eating our own future in that manner is somehow going to create a recovery, and that if you scapegoat the unions or individuals or whomever that pay 81% of what the revenues that go into the Treasury Department are, when the corporations are paying less than 10%, you can't ever, you can be debating the budget forever. You're never going to get to an equal or a balance from this point, because we're so far in the hole because of the debt that was created. We have to pay $430 billion a year just on the current debt. And if the value of our debt, if S&P, say, does ultimately downgrade the United States, goes up, that number increases. And that's just starting day one in the hole at $430 billion.
And we've got to break powerful info, and here's the issue. We're having this gradual slide into third worldom, but if a Moody's or an S&P does downgrade the debt, we could see a stock market crash that day. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Nomi Prinz is our guest. We're going to keep her a little bit into the next hour. But I want to calmly point something out here. The Republican leadership says there's nothing wrong with profit in America. You're a communist if you're against the megabanks. It's the six big megabanks that communalize our wealth and then transfer it to themselves. They make loss public and their profits private. And here's GE, Wall Street Journal today. Their profit jumped 77%, and they paid zero corporate taxes because they're mainly offshore. They get waivers from their new coal power plants while shutting down their competition. They head up the president's economic board, the former CEO. Just like if you're a campaign contributor, you don't have to buy the insurance. So that's going on. I want to play a Newt Gingrich clip here from CNBC where he says, fire Bernanke. So it shows the system's looking for scapegoats. He's just a front man like shark teeth. New ones will roll forward. But Nomi, I mean, being a former managing director at Goldman Sachs, again, you're uniquely positioned to understand this, and you predicted it almost 7 years ago with precision, because I've read your book years ago. Understanding this, we're seeing this slow slide into inflation and into job loss and stagnation. But if a credit agency comes out a month from now, 2 years from now, one of the big three, and does ever get rid of our AAA rating, it might not take another year after that for full implosion, because couldn't that signify the start of a panic? We already saw one a little bit earlier in the week. And then cause a rush to the exits globally, out of the dollar, even though it's stacked up like toxic waste?
It can do a rush that way. And also what will happen is there's going to be a moment where the Fed is going to have to really, you know, sort of come to the realization that the policy of propping something up actually has been negative, which we all know, which S&P is trying to point out, that if you continue to create and buy debt in a circular fashion, ultimately that's not a stable economic policy. So if rates go up, if the ratings come down, and therefore the cost of our money goes up, the cost of our debt goes up, it's going to, first of all, it's going to deeply piss off the banks, and, And so what you're going to see initially is a large stock market loss in bank value and corporate value, because all of these companies, GE included, you know, you mentioned GE. GE also got $140 billion of guarantee for debt that they created through GE Capital, their financial unit, during the bailout. I mean, it's not just that they're not paying taxes and getting $4 billion refunds and making all these profits offshore. They were getting bailout money when things were bad. What's happened is GE and the six major banks and all the corporations that continue to shun taxes and make profits, is they're doing so on very cheap money. And so they can position themselves and report to analysts and report to stock investors that they're doing well from that particular standpoint, and that's why they get their investors in, and that's how
well,
they
even Gingrich said that. He said they get first use of the money.
Exactly.
And some credit card rates are now at 79.9%. And they write the laws, they write the loopholes where they can be tax-free offshore. And then GE, on top of all this, is the big group, along with Soros and others, lobbying to raise my taxes so they can suck it out of me through the government. I mean, these people are brazen.
Right, they want you to subsidize their profits, and not just in a limited way, not just obviously by buying their products, which is how it used to work, but in basically funding them, and funding them through your taxes, and funding them through the continuation of this program of the Treasury Department, the Federal Reserve, which has them creating profits off of cheap money and shirking taxes. It's you've got the two. They're shirking taxes. They're not giving them to the Treasury Department. So the Treasury Department is increasing our debt in order to basically make that whole, and wanting to sort of backdoor increase our taxes, because ultimately that's what happens when a budget is in deficit and there's not revenue coming in from the people, the companies that are making
the money. Nomi, stay there. We got a break. Back in 1 minute. Incredible. I want to talk about the time frame, what you believe is going to happen next.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Nomi Prinz, best-selling author, journalist, former managing director at Goldman Sachs. Running the International Analytics Group at Bear Stearns in London, she joins us, whistleblower, NomiPrinz.com. Our websites are Infowars.com. She'll be with us about 15, 20 minutes into this hour, because we've got a lot to cover in this short segment, finishing up the point you were making before the break. And then I want to pose the question, historically studying this, how do you see this ending? Because you know, the possible endings from my research run from bad to worse. So we're just hoping for the bad.
Right. I mean, I think right now what's going on, and just to follow on from the point we were talking about before, is that the banking system, the major banks, the major companies that also have financial arms and all of whom have offshore collectives, they count on cheap money. They count on getting funding from the Fed, on having rates be so low, because they can in turn either lend it out, which is sort of a simple job, and get a lot back on it, or they can speculate with it and go further and then not have those profits taxed, et cetera, or not have those revenues revert to the United States. So they're basically getting free money from the United States and not returning anything for it. And that's a really good game. You can ride that for a while. But what will happen is, if the value of our debt is officially downgraded, if there's no way that the Fed can reduce rates below zero enough to effectively maintain giving cheap money to the banking and corporate system, it's going to create a colossal pain to them. Pain that effectively we have been subsidizing and pushing forward and away from them anyway. But what will happen is, once they have to pay more, once their funding goes higher, once their profits deteriorate because the cost of the money that they use to inflate them has increased, they will be in a position where they won't look as good, where they won't show the kind of high profits that their stock investors are used to seeing. That's going to create a plummet in the stock market. And that will be very fast, and that will be very sharp, if our debt is actually rated lower. Now that's a big if, because I do believe that the S&P and the White House can continue to have a back and forth on this for a long time. The fact that the S&P has only now just mentioned the fact that debt's a problem is not comforting. The fact that we have a private rating agency even doing this is also uncomforting. So there are ways for conversations to happen, I believe, where this whole scenario might be far off. But if the rating goes up, if the value goes down, if the cost of money to the financial system and the corporate system is high, that will create lower profits, really, not just what we're getting to see after the offshore parts are taken out. That's going to create a problem. And I think right now what we're seeing with the increase in commodities, the increase in silver, the increase in gold, in oil, I think this is where a lot of the financial system is putting a increasing percentage of their money for now.
Because they know that in a collapse situation, that'll be the only thing of value, which signifies that all the thinkers and the insiders are getting the farmland, the gold, the silver, the raw materials, the rare earth minerals, signifying that they understand there's really no way out. I mean, is there any way out under the current management, or even if we got good people in there, is this reversible?
I think it's not reversible on a dime. It's slowly reversible if the right policies are taken. There's $1 trillion of treasuries just parked, there's more, but $1 trillion from just the banking system parked at the Fed that's there in excess reserve that the banks don't even have to put there, but they're putting there because they get a little bit of interest in it. They're getting the cheap money, and it's kind of, safe for them. And, for example, that's money that could be used to reduce the debt because it was money that was given to the financial system when it was a problem, and now it's just being parked.
Sure.
At the Fed.
It's another form of inflation. Stay there.
Exactly. You can revert back.
Absolutely. Let's come back and get into Newt Gingrich and the rats leaving the sinking ship. Nomi Prinz is our guest.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Nomi Prinz is our guest for the rest of this segment. Gerald Celente is coming up. We'll also jam in some of your phone calls in the next segment. CNBC, $6 gas could happen if dollar keeps getting weaker. But the White House says everything's fine. Oil above 112 on signs of strong U.S. crude demand. The Saudis striking back after the globalists are trying to overthrow them, saying that there's not high demand, which is asinine, and cutting production. GE's profit jumped 77%. So did J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, all the big insiders. GOP escalates debt limit demands, but Geithner basically holds them hostage, saying the default's going to be your fault. That's, again, the opposite of reality. CNS News reporting federal borrowing on pace to hit debt limit in less than a week. That's just some of the news we have there. But for Nomi Prinz, former managing director, Goldman Sachs, running their international analytics group at the Bear Stearns in London, I want to pose the question, then play the clip and get your answer. But undoubtedly, Zbigniew Brzezinski last year gave a speech at the CFR in Canada and said for the first time humanity is awake. They're not just looking at the puppet front parties worldwide from India to the U.S. They're looking at the banking cartel, the inner coterie. They're angry. The elite is in trouble. They had the 100-year anniversary of the Jekyll Island meeting a few months ago, and they released a clip of Greenspan admitting there had been criminal activity in the banking sector. We see Gingrich coming out and saying, fire Bernanke, take the Federal Reserve's domestic power away, only let them deal with dollar value globally, which is really doublespeak. So they've gone from denying that the Fed ever did anything wrong, and Greenspan telling Lehrer NewsHour 3 years ago that they're above the law and Congress has no power over them, to now blaming each other and pointing fingers. And Gingrich, a big globalist, a one-world government promoter, a carbon tax promoter, a Judas goat to control conservatives, I also heard him on Hannity yesterday, you know, saying that the Federal Reserve has done this to us. This is a major sea change. A major sea change, because the polls, over 80%, want to audit or abolish these guys. Because you create $1 through the Federal Reserve System, a dollar of debt is created. At the end of this Ponzi scheme, it's impossible to pay it all off, and it vertically integrates all the wealth to the insiders. I want to get Nomi Prinz's insider take on this in a moment. First, here's a minute of Gingrich yesterday on CNBC making the rounds, getting ready to scapegoat. And though he's untasteful, he's still just a front man. Ben Bernanke, here it is.
All right, Newt, let me start with this. A bad landmark today, and you know stuff about this. Gold hit $1,500 an ounce, another sign of the collapse of the U.S. dollar. And yet, on the campaign trail, yet I don't hear any Republicans talking about the destruction of the dollar, the surge in gold, the inflation of food and fuel.
You hear Ron Paul.
What is up with this? Why is the GOP not looking at this key?
Because they're part of it.
Well, I can't tell you why they're not. I think that Bernanke has done the chairman of the Federal Reserve has done a terrible job. I think he completely misunderstands the role of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve ought to be keeping the dollar sound. It ought to be protecting the American dollar and making sure that it's a store of value people can believe in. But for that to happen, the Congress and the president have to do their job, which is to have a fiscal policy which is responsible, which moves back towards a balanced budget, and to shape the tax and regulatory environment so that we can be job-creating, economic growth, and get back to the kind of dynamic country that has...
It's an eight-minute clip. It's up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And again, he went on Hannity and said, fire Bernanke. But the point is, how about fire the Federal Reserve System? Well, he went on and said, split it in two. But Kudlow was pointing out that no Republican but Ron Paul or Rand Paul is pointing out the inflation tax and where all this is headed. But does this signify the fact that they realize they're not invincible and that they're going to be held accountable, that the finger pointing is starting?
The finger pointing is starting. And as you mentioned, people like Ron Paul have been talking about it for years. And also Bernie Sanders. I mean, it's been across the aisle, a couple people for years, that the Fed is out of control. I would just add, though, and this isn't being discussed, that, you know, the Treasury Department is, what is going on between the Fed printing money and substantiating money by buying the debt that the Treasury Department is printing is that it's really a collaborative effort.
Absolutely, because it's always former Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan people who are over at the Treasury.
Right, or the New York Fed. You know, so basically, you know, this revolving sort of circular door between all of the, you know, between the Fed and the Treasury Department and then back to Wall Street. And so that's the economic policy that we have. It's that you create debt to float the financial system and to float the kind of corporate profits that are based on having cheap money and using it to profit, to go offshore, to not revert back in tax revenues. That is our current economic policy. The fact that the White House, the fact that not a lot of people in Congress seem to be discussing this or getting this, and it could be one or the other depending on the individual. It could be, you know, stupidity or just, you know, disacknowledgement. But either way, is a problem, obviously, for our entire economic policy. I think you have to point fingers at the Fed for being an enabler. You have to point fingers at the Treasury Department for being an enabler. And Congress doesn't get a free pass because, for the most part, there hasn't been a lot of standing in the way. There hasn't been, with the exception of Paul and a couple people, a standing up and saying, you know what, this isn't a good policy for our country. Not just because the Fed is, you know, basically quasi-private institution that helps the private institutions that are on its board, but because it's hurting our revenues. It's devaluing our money. It's bad for the American people, who then have to pay more for everything that we cannot do without, you know, which we see now in the inflation that's happening in commodity prices and things that we use and need, like oil, you know. And yes, it'd be great if we didn't have to, but when we do, and since we do in the meantime, all of that extra cost comes down on individuals who aren't lobbying and aren't running the Fed and aren't running the Treasury Department.
Well, certainly we have a corrupt Congress, a corrupt executive, but if you look at who gives them the majority of their campaign contributions, both parties, it is the inner group of Wall Street and London and European banks that have financed this. They're the ones that came in and got the 1913 system in place that allowed this to happen. Just like Obama went to the Rockefeller-created UN and got their authorization to attack Libya, not Congress. The issue here is without the Federal Reserve in place, they could have never engaged in this.
All right, and just to put numbers on this, in the last decade or so, just the Wall Street contingent, just the financial contingent, has paid over $1 billion in lobbying money. And that's like nothing. It's a lot, and it's nothing. It's like a year of bonuses. Well, it's much less. It is such a small amount to pay.
There are brokerage firm heads that I've seen. There are brokerage firm heads I've seen, Nomi, that make billions a year. I mean, they're buying the Congress and the president for $1 billion a year. This is cheap.
It is the best use of money. You basically pay almost nothing to get everything in your favor. Then you get money at 0% after you have screwed up massively and contributed to a crush in the general economy. You don't share. You know, you don't talk about reinstating or refinancing mortgages or reducing credit card rates or helping sort of lower the debt in general through the country. You just increase everybody's cost of everything. And that's really what we're dealing with. And it's an economic policy that will continue to deteriorate the United States as a country. And it would be nice. It would be honest, which doesn't happen for Washington to at least admit the reason for the magnitude of our debt crisis now. We've been going in this direction for a while, but particularly in the last 2.5 years, the magnitude of the crisis and why it has happened, and not because unions have high pensions, but because we have doubled our treasury debt in a very short period of time to float a banking system that doesn't pay revenues into our
country. Now we're getting ready to, technically, country starting to move away from buying T-bills. That right there shows that we, in the real world, the court of public opinion and international finance, are losing the AAA rating. And every time a country goes down that road, every time countries move down this road of monetizing debt, it always ends the same. We know, they know. And the only thing I may disagree with you in closing is you're saying they've screwed up. Record bonuses, vertical integration. They've put the police state in place. They've been gearing up for this for decades. This thing is clearly planned, and we have a lot of their own documents showing that, just like it was planned by the very same banks doing this to third world countries, Nomi.
Yeah, no, it is strategic, and it has worked in their favor. What I'm saying is, from our perspective, them having had a relapse, a momentary, in the fall of 2008, just increased the amount of money and the amount of debt for our country and amount of money to them at zero rates. And I think that, in fact, if that was completely strategic in and of itself, they certainly created a toxic asset bubble and an over-leverage bubble that caused them to implode for a minute.
Made money on the way up and then had us make money on the other side.
Yeah, and we pay it.
Nomi Prinz, thank you so much for joining us. Really amazing information. Folks can learn more at NomiPrinz.com, and I look forward to speaking to you again in the near future. 30 seconds, closing
thank
comments.
I think we continue to head down in terms of our value as a currency, our value as an economic power, and I think that the continuation in Washington will be to ignore this and pretend we're in a slow recovery, pretend everything's okay because it's people's egos and jobs on the line, and that ultimately comes down on us.
Absolutely, and then they pose as our saviors and get even more power with all their media talking heads telling us that they'll save us if we just give up our rights and worship the private Federal Reserve. Nomi Prinz, we'll talk to you again very soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with some of your phone calls and Gerald Celente covering the same. All right, thanks for holding, callers. Let's go to Brian in British Columbia, then Mike, Derek, Frank, Huber is 9, and others. You're on the air, Brian.
Hi, Alex. How you doing?
Oh, man, I tell you, it's unfortunate to be so right. The incredible police state, the total wiretapping of everything by design illegally, the designed implosion of the economy, knowing that a hardcore, intense depression's coming, grapes of wrath level. It's sobering.
Yeah, tell me about it. And I was calling in regards to something that's apropos, considering who you were just talking to. I can remember a lot of the times when I would go to visit the States, and when I had to go to the bank to get U.S. dollars, I'd end up paying and getting 67 cents to 75 cents on the dollar. Now, if I was going to travel down to Seattle today and I went to the bank with the dollar Canadian, I'd get $1.05 U.S.
Yeah, it's becoming like when you visit Mexico, you get more because the dollar's worth more than the peso. Well, now the Canadian currency, what the loonie, is worth more than the dollar.
And it's unreal because I don't think a lot of Americans realize it, but it's just so historically been that the Canadian dollar has always been around somewhere around 67, 75 cents U.S., and that's what it stayed at.
The euro is way above the dollar now, and it's only going to get worse.
Yep. And in other news, I just wanted to say to you that $5 a gallon gas is here in Canada. We're paying $1.31 a liter on average where I am, and that translates to about $5.20 a gallon. And if you include the exchange rate, that knocks it up to closer to $5.50 a gallon.
Amazing. And it's only going to go up now because of global dollar devaluation, because oil is denominated globally in dollars. So no matter if you have a different currency, I mean, so many people sent me emails saying, I don't care if the dollar's devalued, or I don't care if the stock market goes down. It affects everything separately because it's a global issue. I know it's old news for our listeners, as we told you specifically what was happening, but all cell phones, not just Apple, iPhones are wired into the government and give them your GPS location. And the government also has wireless hubs automatically cracking the code because they have the code key and downloading your photos, everything. Do people know that their smartphones are now completely tied into the government? And again, it's totally illegal, but no one gets in trouble for it. I mean, does that upset you as a Canadian? This is a global system.
It does, and I mean, I've purposely stayed away from cell phones for that reason. I mean, sometimes I flirted with the idea of getting one, but the newer phones, the other thing is, even if they're off, authorities can remotely turn them on and record what's happening wherever you're at.
By the way, that's 1996 law in the U.S. adopted the same year in Canada. So, yeah, it's not just the new smartphones. I want folks to understand, it's all of them. But, I mean, again, it's just like schools across the country get caught watching kids over their computers at home. I mean, it's a diabolical. I saw a report yesterday about superintendents. Most of them across the country are former military. My high school principal here in Austin was a general in the reserves. And he actually announced the last day of school, welcome to the New World Order. I wasn't sure what that meant exactly. And they had Army helicopters land as like a recruitment drive the last day at Anderson High. And then other people that went there after me said the same thing was done when he was there for years. But the issue is that superintendents call in new prospective teachers and they say, if I order you to put kids in danger, put them in a hailstorm, a lightning storm, march them out in the street, will you follow the order, even if it's wrong? And when they say no, they say you're not getting the job. Government has recruited cult members, government cult members, who will do whatever they're told and get off on their power over those that are below them. And the cops will do illegal stuff. The principals do. I mean, all over the country. We first got the reports a year and a half ago, and then it was confirmed all over the news. Even though parents said, they sent a letter home saying we're going to inoculate your kid with the H1N1 shot. When the parents said don't do it, they would say, oh, we accidentally shot him up. I mean, and then it turned out they were lying under federal orders and illegally injecting your kid with something the insert admitted had all these serious side effects, including death. I mean, does that give you an idea of just how dangerous it is that our government and corporate system globally is made up of yes men?
It does, and I think the thing in Canada, too, we're starting to see seepage from some of the policies in the U.S. I think, in one sense, we're a little bit removed in that we have a media which is a little bit more honest, but we do find...
In some ways. Listen, have you read the Ottawa Citizen? where they signed deals with the U.S. to use our troops up there against you and vice versa?
Yes, and I'm in the Canadian military, so I know about that. It's crazy, but even in the airport, you see the same things happening there that are happening down the States.
That's right. Our government's running your airport regulations. We'll be right back. Great points.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
Gerald Celente for the balance of the hour. He may go a little bit into overdrive if he can do it. I haven't asked him yet. Before we go back to him, I want to give you a few program notes for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers and InfoWars.com readers. There's a new article out at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. G. Edward Griffin, The Collectivist Conspiracy. That video is posted up at InfoWars.com as well right now. Very important information. Yesterday morning, we put out a video that's got more honors than any recent video we've put out. It's got more than 20 honors all over the world, and is one of the top videos on the front page of YouTube right now, approaching 100,000 views in one day. So that means it'll probably get about 1 million in the next month. And it's titled, Alex Jones Joins the New World Order. And it says at the bottom of the video that it's satire, and it's clearly satire. And some of my detractors, of course, have picked it up and say it's real. They know it's not real. They're going after weak-minded people. I didn't join the New World Order. It's satire. But if you want to see what I'm talking about, it's up on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, or just go to our YouTube channel by clicking the links that are on the top of every article to go to our YouTube channel, and you can watch it there. It's called Censored Video because it's satire. Censored Video, Alex Jones Joins the New World Order, if you want to see that viral video. Before we go to Gerald, a few of the sponsors that have made today's radio show possible, eFoodsDirect.com, the letter E, FoodsDirect.com. You can call and get a free brochure at 800-409-5633. This is the storable food company that put all the others basically on the map. These are the folks that give you the clean, non-hybrid, non-GMO food. These are the folks that are the biggest and the best, and you're getting new food that they pack new every month, not old garbage. With everything that's happening, they've got a 10-day extreme emergency kit, one box you can put in the back of your car of high-quality, dehydrated, really tasty food, a $300 value when you purchase a $995, one of their larger storable food packages. With all the craziness going on today, folks, everybody needs this, eFoodsDirect.com. Also, Diamond Gusset jeans, 25 years, made in America, regular jeans. They're high quality. They last longer than regular jeans. Find out why at gusset.com/sale to take advantage of a bunch of sales they've got running right now. They also help finance Mark Wills putting out his new country album and his hit single, number 4 on the GAC charts, Looking for America. You can listen to the MP3 of the great song about reindustrializing America at gusset.com/sale. And finally, PureWaterFreedom.com. Great folks I want to tell you about. If you want to affordably remove fluoride from your tap water, visit PureWaterFreedom.com. They have a full line of household fluoride filters. You can even remove fluoride from every water source in your home with a whole house fluoride system. They have a wide variety of filters to remove all types of toxins from your water, including shower, bath, filters, tabletops, you name it. All the filters are made in the USA. We attempt to try to support companies made in the USA. Check out their banners at PrisonPlanet.com or InfoWars.com or go to PureWaterFreedom.com today to take control of your water supply for you and your family. Okay, shifting gears now to Gerald Celente. And Gerald Celente is one of the leading, if not the leading, long-term trend forecasters. And he said early last year, he said by the end of 2010, the U.S. will be technically bankrupt and will be in a depression. Now, most of the other economists and analysts we interviewed at that time said, yes, we are now at the point of no return. The dollar has been devalued. Commodities are going up. We never left the recession. We're in a depression. But we're now under 21st century mind control where they tell us the economy's rebounded and is great, even though S&P has come out and said that it's a negative outlook on the U.S. keeping its credit rating. We'll basically become like a third world nation. The Chinese are dumping the dollar at record rates. The Saudis know they've been double-crossed with the attempted military overthrow by the globalists there and surrounding them. So they've said that demand is low, so they're cutting production when demand's at an all-time high. There's no doubt we're in the first stages of a serious economic depression, and Gerald Celente was right. But it's just like people send me emails and media makes jokes. Jones says buy gold. What a kook. They actually say this. He first said buy it at 260. Now it's $1,510. He said buy silver when it was $5. Now it's 46 plus. It's like saying, man, this guy, you know, told you your house was on fire and it was on fire. He's a nut. I mean, we've entered a la-la land world where they tell us the war in Libya isn't a war. Ground troops on the ground isn't a ground war. And there won't be a ground war, though they say it's a ground war. But it isn't a ground war. They've raised the radiation levels between 1,000 to 100,000 times what they say was safe previously, because we have over 500 times safe levels in cesium, cesium, and radioactive iodine 131. We are now entering a la-la land Orwellville that is so bizarre, where they knowingly think the public's dumbed down and continue to tell us that up is down, down is up, black is white. Gerald Celente, how do you quantify what's happening? A civilization gone crazy?
Everything is it's the presidential reality show. People have lost their minds. They become prescription drug addicted and fast food fattened. America doesn't have a fight anymore. As I mentioned to you, you know, people say, oh, you're a gloom and doomer. I had came out with Trends 2000, my book, back in, 1997, a Warner book. And I was so optimistic about the nation. You know, people were talking about moving forward in positive ways. And as you said, you know, up is down and down is up. They don't call a war in Libya a war. It's what, a time-limited, scope-limited action. The UK is now sending over, quote, advisors, and Italy and France, officers. You know, what am I, 6 years old?
And they were already there months ago. They were there before it started.
Well, I know, but now they're admitting it. But they're putting these white shoe boy names on them. You know, advisors. That's what they call the Vietnam War. Hey, remember Korean War? That was a police action. You know, nothing's really changed. It's only getting worse. And as you're talking about the economy, you know, I read something from Jim Sinclair. He really put it well. He said something to the effect of Orwell's 1984, you know, how they used to keep blasting out these messages and putting them on the big screen. He said, now, you know, the business networks are the 1984 putting out the propaganda. And that's all it is. It's more propaganda on top of old propaganda. They won't call a spade a spade. Everybody knows that the only reason that this economy is keeping up at any level at all is because of all the digital money that they've dumped into the system, the trillions. Look what gold is doing. You mentioned I called gold at 275. You called it at 260. And look where it is now. Oh, and by the way, here's one for you. Go to Forbes magazine. They did a big story on me. You know what they called it? They called it something about doomsayers forecasting. And we had forecast at that time gold was around $720 an ounce. They interviewed my assistant, who when she came to work for us, her bond company went bust. She cashed out all her 401ks and put it into gold. And then, now remember, gold is about $725 at the time.
It's more than doubled since then a few years ago.
Exactly. So now they write this. Well, you know, Celente's a doom and gloomer, and gold could go down as easily go down below $500.
No, that's what I'm saying. We're bad because we're right.
So now we contacted these little weasels, that Forbes. This guy would be nothing if his daddy didn't have any money, right? Now, you know, he's the big mouth out there. Do you know they won't even write a retraction? They won't even say that we're right. After they took a cheap shot at me, that flabbermouth out there, he's all over the place. Celente was right. Forbes was wrong. And they won't give you any credit for it.
Well, they also run around.
They pounce on you, as you know.
Well, they also run around and say that you're wrong about saying we're in a depression. By every yardstick, what, three quarters?
Oh, yeah.
Three quarters of no growth and a few other indicators is a depression. We're now, with cookbooks, several years into no growth with the debt spiraling out of control. If this isn't a depression, with half the restaurants I used to go to being closed where I live, commercial real estate going under, the news coming out that private real estate, home real estate is still plunging, and they tell us that's great.
Look at the numbers. Home real estate values are down to worse than Great Depression levels. How's that for a depression era level? Go to John Williams' shadow statistics. Look up the unemployment rate. It's around 22%. Here, try this one on, Alex. Yeah, there's a recovery. You know where the recovery is coming from? 10% of the population in the United States owns 90% of all the stocks, all the bonds, all the mutual funds. 5% owns 63% of everything. No, there's not a depression. Oh, in the meanwhile out there, everybody's wages have declined. Oh, but there's not inflation out there. Oh, no, they cook those numbers, too. Of course there's a depression going on. People are losing everything.
All right, I want to go back, because you can always remember what journal, what date, and people can go to your website and pull it up and see it for themselves. But I remember over a year ago, because it was early 2010, you said it's going to be clear that it's a depression by the end of the year, and it's clear a few months ago. And you said there's going to be war, and it's going to be in the Middle East, it's going to be in Central Asia, and you absolutely called it. What journal was that, so people can go to Trends Research?
The Spring 2010 Trends Journal. It was the Great War. And then this past autumn, we came out with Off With Their Heads 2.0. And the Trends Journal that just came out yesterday, the whole issue is devoted to the first great war of the 21st century. You put all the pieces together, Alex, when you're talking about the police state we're living in, because they know it's happening. It's out of control, and the last thing they're going to do is to control us. That's all the plan. Look, Libya's not a one-off. Tunisia, Egypt, Bahrain, Yemen, Algeria, Morocco, Syria, Jordan.
How did you know? How did you know?
Because the whole... You know how I knew? For the same reason Bernie Madoff knew. Bernie Madoff did an interview recently, and he said what we've been saying all along. It's nothing more than one big Ponzi scheme. When they came out with the TARP bailouts in 2008, we sent out a trend alert. And we said in that trend alert that when all else fails, they take you to war. That's what's going on. They can't bail out any more European banks. Oh, and by the way, this hardly made the news. As you know, Finland just voted in a new party. They're not going to be party to the bailouts. If all the European nations, the EMU nations, don't go into the bailouts, it doesn't happen. Where are they? What's a bailout, by the way? Oh, here's a bailout for you. What bailout? How about bailing in? They give you more debt. They cannot handle the debt.
Well, the bankers get the money, and then we get to pay them interest for the right to give them money. That's how sick this is. The Wall Street Journal reports today a 77% profit in 2010 for General Electric, who basically runs the White House Economic Council and paid zero corporate tax, ladies and gentlemen. And it's GE and their MSNBC scapegoating the middle class, Alex Jones, Gerald Celente, you know, doctors, lawyers, professors. We're being scapegoated and told we've got to pay more to, quote, fix the debt, but the money that we pay goes right to the bankers.
Exactly, and that's why we came off with that, with the Off With Their Heads Trends Journal. And that's what's going on in Europe. The only reason why Europe hasn't imploded yet like the Middle East is because there in the Middle East, people have the autocrats, the monarchs, the dictators. In Europe, they're still living under the illusion that they have a democracy. So, like in Ireland, they just put in another criminal group to replace the other criminal group. They're still living under the illusion that you can change it in the ballot box.
And let me stop you. The system knows the illusion is wearing thin. And so now everything we've told people about, because it was public, is now being announced. Not just Apple, all smartphones under federal law, Telecommunications Act of 96, track you in real time, upload your location, give them all your data. Police all over the country have wireless systems with back doors. They don't even hack it, that get into your phone and steal everything off of it. They're just doing it. They pull you over for speeding, grab your phone without a warrant, plug it in, steal your data. TSA doing the same thing when you try to fly, steal your laptop data. I mean, they are so criminal, Gerald. And you go back last year, Bloomberg reports, 11 years ago, secret deal signed, Veterans Affairs with the big insurance companies to secretly steal the life insurance money of World War III vets through current vets. I mean, to even get my mind around how unbelievably criminal they are and that they've been authorized to do it, it staggers the imagination that they're going for broke. They've committed so many crimes, Gerald, they're not going to stop.
Alex, you know that I was one of the first people when they started all these bailouts under Bush and then continued under Obama, and they called it socialism and Marxism. I said, no, it's not. It's fascism. Fascism has come to America. The merger of state and corporate powers. You just talked about GE. Do you have to go any further than that? You could keep going down the line. You're talking about all the apps and everything else with how the companies are all working in tandem together to rob us. Fascism has come to America. Here, try this one on. I unilaterally decided that our core interests and that of our allies are at stake. So we're going to bomb Libya. Whatever happened to we the people? That's a really, you know, an arcane concept.
Whatever happened to Congress is illegal.
Exactly. But they're saying it's gone. It's over. And that's what our issue is, the first great war. And what we're telling people to do is to prepare, survive, and prevail. Because people better grow up here. The game is over. Here's a good one for you. Today, Hillary Clinton.
Gerald, stay there. You know what? I know you've got other interviews probably coming up, and you've agreed to 5 minutes of the next hour, but this is too powerful today, having you on for just 30. I'll just ask live on air. I don't know. Can you do 20 minutes, 30 into the next hour, or you got to go in?
It's impossible. I could do a couple of minutes into it, but I have another one coming up.
I understand. We'll have to get you back very soon because it is. We have to admit it's over. Stay there. When we come back, we'll break it down. Then the show will be over. Gerald Celente will be with us 5 minutes into the next hour, then we'll go to retransmission. If your station doesn't carry the first 5 minute segment, go to Infowars.com to listen. This is a quote by Cicero over 2,040 years ago. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, NPR or the snake voices, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it no longer can resist. A murderer is less to fear. The traitor is the plague. Cicero, who of course was killed after Caesar was killed for basically going along with not wanting a tyrant. So that's Cicero, Roman Empire, more than 2,000 years ago. And it's true. The traitor is the plague. Is it not, Gerald Celente?
Look what they're doing. They're putting the guise of war as humanitarian missions. At least Bush called it a preemptive issue. Then now they're taking us to war under the guise of humanitarian, and they're using that again as part of the nomenclature. And it's exactly right. The traitors are amongst us, and the people. Again, the people have lost the fight in this country. I just read an article about in Ohio, for example, there are more kids dying from overdosing on prescription drug painkillers than auto accidents or drunk driving. So that the whole morality of the nation is being rotted out. I was mentioning before the break about what I read today, Hillary Clinton chastising Gaddafi for allegedly using cluster bombs. And I said to myself, wow, that's interesting. How about all that depleted uranium the United States dumped all over Iraq? Oh, that's okay.
And now Libya.
Oh, yeah. And how about Israel, bombing Lebanon with cluster bombs? Oh, not a peep about that. And how about those Predator drones? Listen, Gaddafi's a rookie. I mean, he should be picking up America's atrocities. Could you imagine if they had a Abu Ghraib in Libya, how they would be talking about that? And the mainstream media, you know what I've come up with a name for them. They're nothing more than prostitutes. They're whores for the people in power. It's the revolving door. You have this guy, Carney, James Carney, the White House spokesperson. Hey, where did he come from? Geez, Time Magazine. He couldn't have been a Yalie, could he? You really? You mean Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks? So the whole thing, Alex, it is a world order. And all you have to do to see the proof is to see who took most of the money from the Fed discount window. Foreign banks. What's Fed money going to bail out foreign banks? $20 trillion worth of back-end deals on the other end going to Bank of Scotland, Japan, to the Deutsche Bank, on and on. So anybody that I used to say, this New World Order, come on. The golden rule, those who have the gold rule. And the gold is coming out of our pockets, stolen by the Fed, and spread over to the other world banks that are running the show.
Well said. Let's continue for five more minutes with Gerald Celente. Stay with us. InfoWars.com. Got 5 minutes left with Gerald Celente, and the point he made is the point I'm trying to get home. Admit we have a criminal government. Doesn't mean all the cops are criminal, the school teachers, even the bureaucrats. The system is inequitable. It's designed to bring in tyranny, and it's a bunch of insiders who got their people into the bureaucracy in the last 100 years, who have sold us out to foreign banks, and they have a religion. I mean, the globalists admit that they're post-industrializing us for our own good. They're making us poor for our own good, but then they're going to live like kings. And they are going after our First Amendment, everything. And people listening out there, you were getting into your research. They now admit this whole world government. Gerald, you were elaborating on the fact that this is a world government. Looking forward into the future, not just the near future, but out from that, how do you see this ending? Because now the rats are starting to leave the sinking ship. We're now seeing globalists like Newt Gingrich saying, get rid of Bernanke. We're now seeing polls showing the majority of people want to get rid of the Fed. Looks like this ruling class that controls the political class of whores is in trouble.
Well, to an extent. But remember, the game is rigged and they're running the game. I mean, to me, the only outside shot is a Ron Paul. And, I was on, he's one of the people I like to be on a lot with is Judge Andrew Napolitano and on Fox. And he told me one of the most successful shows he had was when he had Ron Paul and Ralph Nader on, talking about a progressive libertarian party. progressive in the terms of foods, like you mentioned, e-foods, and they're clean food. And by the way, you know, I coined that term clean food in 1993. So I'm concerned about what I eat. You know, I'm concerned about the environment and the water. And yet I'm with Ron Paul on the other end. I don't want my money going overseas. You know, I love this Hillary Clinton. She's a real sport with our dough. She just told Japan, we'll help them out too. They go around and give our money to everybody. We just gave Israel some more money for their missile defense system. I'm sick and tired of these people telling me where my money has to go.
By the way, they're going to make the Japanese people pay for Tokyo Electric and General Electric, even though General Electric's own engineers quit 30-something years ago when they built those. So General Electric, Tokyo Electric, they don't have to pay nothing. The Japanese people, they're going to pay.
And will pay, because she's already donated some of our money. So what I'm saying is that the only way out, to answer your question to me, is a third party. Because this isn't democracy in America. You know, they don't represent us. And you talked about the cops. You know, 2 weeks ago, I got two tickets, one on a Saturday night and one on a Sunday. And yet his kid, you know, he was groomed to be a perfect young Nazi, you know.
Oh, no, they're crawling all over everything, but then won't respond to real crime now.
Exactly. So they've become the police have become the enforcers for the crime bosses. You haven't seen one head roll on Wall Street. So what I say to the police, and I know a number of them, do what's right morally. Not what your corrupt boss who's tied into the politicians is telling you to do to bring more revenue in because taxes are going down. Do what's right morally. And to me, Alex, that's the only way out of all of these problems.
Well, no amount of taxes. I mean, just a few years ago, I'd drive to work and I'd see five cops. Now I might see 20. I mean, they are feeding on us and they're pulling people over for going 1 mile over the speed limit now.
I know. I'm saying, I don't want to go out at night anymore. You know, I have one drink and will they be after me? You know, meanwhile, as I said, the real criminals, like try Congress, they get off with a slap. How about that guy, Charlie Rangel? Remember him?
Yeah,
remember all the stuff that he got caught doing? How about all these people like Daschle and Geithner, who never pay their taxes? Oh, they get caught. They say, I made a mistake. You or I get caught. Boy, we're doing hard time for a long time.
Yeah,
so,
Gerald,
again,
give us your website.
We need a new third party.
Give folks your website again.
Trendsjournal.com. And we just came out yesterday with the spring issue. It's one that you shouldn't miss. It's a collector's piece.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much.